11 o'clock hour here on a Wednesday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Trash of the day is coming up in 20 minutes.
Is it going to be that golf course fight?
It's not going to be the golf course fight. That made the rounds yesterday. This is like...
That's some bad luck, man. Drunk getting in a fight and then choosing to fight a hockey enforcer. I got to admit, you're an idiot, but also that's bad luck.
Yeah.
You could have chosen to fight any person as a drunk guy, but you chose a former NHL enforcer. That feels like unfortunate.
Golfers, man. You guys, you guys in like your time crunch and taking too long, and then somebody moved their ball in a different spot that you didn't like. They dragged their feet on the green, you know, just all this stuff that causes fights. My goodness.
It's not golfers. These people are not golfers. They're hoodlums. You want to fight somebody over this? You're an idiot. All you guys are idiots.
That man got thrown in a water
hazard. All you guys are idiots.
Yes, he did.
Treat the golf course properly is fine.
Nah, but that's his point. No, his point is that you're saying treat the golf course properly. Like, I got to bend down to it and trim and like...
But it's not your job to be the enforcer, so you got your ass kicked. That's what happened. It's not your job to be that. You can call the pressure and be like, hey, man, somebody's really tearing up the greens right now. They're dragging their foot along the green, and it's a problem. Just wanted to let you guys know. Go about your business. You don't have to enforce things just because you think you can be the macho man and all this other stuff and said you got your butt kicked.
You ever been like, this is HOA energy. They love being the enforcer. This has nothing to do with golf, in my opinion. This is the problem where people love telling other people what to do.
Correct.
That's what I think that this is about.
The video is funny, but I'm just like, man, this stuff is happening a lot more often.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Course. Yeah. So we will get to the trash of the day coming up in 15 minutes.
No, I was going to say, I was worried it was going to come up in a cinch line. So a couple weeks ago when I did the Elks golf tournament thing with, I had told you like I went with a group of friends. I won a free driver.
Yes. Yes.
Which was nice, right?
I still can't believe that. That's crazy.
So I won a free driver.
Drew's jealous. Very jealous.
I haven't even played with it yet. Don't even know if it works. But so I won a free driver. And by the way, I wouldn't have won it if it wasn't for this guy at the club named Lee who told me my ticket had won. I wasn't paying any attention. And... when I won it, I demanded a speech.
You were drunk, clearly, because I saw some photos from that event that were sent to me by somebody else you were with.
And you think that I was drunk?
Just a little bit.
I don't.
You didn't know you won the award. Makes sense. And then you demanded. then you demanded a speech.
That makes it sound like I had been drinking.
Yeah.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Yeah,
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Drew, have you seen the drive? What do you think of Cody Shaft?
I think I saw a picture. All I saw was a distant picture. It looks nice. It's new, which is
brand new.
Also
it has the plastic
nice.
On it.
Mm-hmm. So you liked it?
Do you know if it was a custom one or if it was a regular? Or
I think
stiff?
Just a regular one.
You would need a custom shaft.
No, well,
that one wouldn't be a custom because it was given to you. Like if you went and got fitted, you might get a custom shaft if you got fitted for a driver.
I don't think I'm good enough at golf for that. I can't believe that guy got thrown into the lake. That was the funniest part. And then got out of the lake to try to fight again, Gold.
And got thrown down. Like, dude, you've lost the battle, man. Like, the fighting on the golf course is just too much.
Yeah, I didn't get any fights. I'm a happy.
That's embarrassing.
Good. I'm a happy drinker.
That's good.
All right, let's talk Royals baseball.
Let's talk a little Royals. Vern's going to join us at 12:30, but he had something to say the other day here on the station as well about Seth Lugo. And it's even more interesting now because we saw today the Royals have signed Dallas Keuchel. Yes, that Dallas Keuchel to a minor league contract. He's now 37 years old. He will be in AAA for now, maybe has an opportunity to make it to the big leagues. Listen to what Vern had to say about Seth Lugo. And he says they should trade Seth Lugo no matter how the next couple weeks go.
If I'm JJ, if I'm John Sherman, I'm praying Seth Lugo stays healthy tonight. And I'm hoping that price goes up and hoping that more teams stay in it, right? You want the Diamondbacks to stay in it so they don't make Zach Gallen available. You want the other right-handed trade options to stay on quality teams because, to me, in a market like this, even if the Royals get red hot and win every single game going into the All-Star break, you still need to trade Seth Lugo. If you're above 500, I still think you need to trade Seth Lugo because if you're above 500, that means maybe this offense is starting to turn it around because it's not just we're living and dying with our starting pitching. Again, it goes back to my edict to the front office. Prove to me that it's not a white flag and you can move Seth Lugo today. But until you can do that, let's take this thing to the deadline.
So that was Vern talking about how he thinks the Royals should handle you know, Seth Lugo. I think, you know, the thing that's interesting now, I'm not saying, I was joking a little bit on and being sarcastic on Twitter earlier this morning, but at some point you do have to still field a rotation. So like, let's say they trade Seth Lugo.
Now Dallas Keuchel
and they trade Michael Lorenzen. Ooh. Both are realistic possibilities. Lorenzen, yeah. And now we know Reagans is at least out till the middle of August. Okay.
Yes.
So I know that let's say they wait all the way up to the deadline. So the calendar flips to August 1st. And let's just say Seth Lugo and Lorenzen are gone. Okay. Your rotation at that point leaves you with Bubic, Michael Wacha, and Noah Cameron. That's three. Last time I checked, you can't just have a three-man rotation in baseball.
Bad idea.
And Daniel Lynch is also on the IL currently, for those asking about him. So Rich Hill or Dallas Keuchel, one of them is going to pitch at some point this year for the Royals if they trade Lugo and Lorenzen.
I'm kind of torn on the Lugo stuff because I don't... This doesn't feel like a playoff team this year just based on the recent losing streak, although they're winning again now, so maybe they're trying to re-enter that conversation. And so some of that maybe changed a little bit. But the reason why I think I'm for it is this is what small market teams who are successful and transactional do. You trade one thing for a different thing, and you just make yourself different in a different way or the same in a different way, in an effort to see if the pieces can come together still and make it work. And if that's the case, and I don't know, look, the AAA options outside of Keuchel or Rich Hill do not exist. The best AAA option at any point this year would have been Avila, and he's been on the injured list since the beginning of May, so he's never going to be available to you this year, unless you're going to pitch guys with like mid-5 ERAs like Champlain or dipping into the AA waters and Kuderna or some of these other names that you've heard probably at this point. There aren't a choice. I'm agreeing with you that Keuchel's probably going to start. The reason why I'd move Lugo is I would move Lugo for somebody with more control. I give someone the better player now, and I am about still winning this year, right? I'm getting back a major league player. I'm getting back a player who helps me now. I am just getting back a player who possesses more control than the one I have now because I constantly need to be in movement. That was the biggest mistake I thought of the Dayton Moore era, is their unwillingness to be in movement, to be constantly making progress. You have to be doing stuff all the time as a small market team. You got to be that fantasy football owner who's way too damn involved in every part of it. You know, you have to be invested in every second. And I just think like when you're a small market team, you move Lugo for a different major league team. You're just moving. You're just doing stuff. So, you sign Keuchel, so Keuchel can make two starts for you in August.
Yeah,
you
know? I'm not against trading Lugo as the month progresses or whatever, especially if you can find an outfield bat that helps you beyond 25 and beyond 26, too. I need that guy to be here in 2027 as well, because we all know Seth Lugo has an opt-out. Yeah, he theoretically could still sign with you in the offseason. But by the way, he can still do that whether you trade him or not. Like, if you're
the dollar
amount to me will be too great for him to come back, because I think he's going to get a very nice payday in the offseason because he continues to pitch great. Good for him. But it doesn't prevent that from still happening. So you get a piece back or pieces back that help you for multiple years when you move on from a guy that maybe is done in 2 months. You know, that's why it's an intriguing option. Now that, you know, I understand the team this week is playing better, but still, like, if this team was 5 or 10 above 500, I would be saying, no. You got to hold on to them. It sucks that you got to hold on to them, but that's not where they're going to be, Cody.
You're kind of in a middle point. You might have to rob Peter to pay Paul, and your starting pitching might be worse, but in an effort to make your offense better, and you're going to hope that that leads to the same number of wins, but with more control. I don't mind
Dallas Keuchel, though, man.
A little bit. Yeah, I hadn't heard that name in a while. I mean, he's a former Cy Young Award winner.
Yes, he is.
I'm surprised that none of these names, considering he's only a couple of shy of 3,000 strikeouts, if they're going to bring in every 40-year-old pitcher off the planet, you didn't make a call to Greinke, or is he just not pitching still?
He might not be. Keuchel had a workout last week, I guess.
Or does he not want to go do minor league stuff?
Well, that also could be part of it. I don't know.
You know?
Yeah, I'm not sure what the scenario is there. How many away is he from 3,000?
Like,
really?
Yeah.
He's going to join Kershaw? He'll be like one of the last guys that ever does it.
Keuchel? No, I'm talking about Zach Greinke.
Yeah. Zach Greinke.
I don't know if he'll ever actually get there, man.
How many away? Is he like 30?
Let me pull it up.
Or was it more?
Because...
No, Keuchel's not.
He is only 21 strikeouts away from 3,000.
Greinke is. Yeah.
That's it. 21 strikeouts away from 3,000. Now, look, based on the number of strikeouts he was getting the last time he was making starts, it's probably 10, 12 starts. But it's not, you know, he's not.
Someone said, I thought you guys were joking when you said we signed Keuchel. No, they actually signed.
If you missed it earlier, the Royals signed Dallas Keuchel to a minor league contract.
And if he were to make it to the big leagues, it's prorated at $2 million, according to Jeff Passan over at ESPN. But I think if Lugo gets moved, and especially if Lorenzen also gets moved, yeah, I think Keuchel or Rich Hill, and right now I guess you would think Keuchel just because Rich Hill hasn't pitched all that well in AAA. Yeah, I think there's a real chance one of those guys is pitching for the Royals in 2025.
I think one at least makes a start.
Yeah.
Even if it's just like a 26th man and a doubleheader situation. Well, I'm trying to look. When do you think the last time Dallas Keuchel was good? Okay, so.
What, 19?
He pitched last year. He's pitched every year. The last year Dallas Keuchel was good? 2020. 2020, he was the last time he was good. And only for a portion of the season. No, he was good for 20. He only pitched in 11 games due to injury. After that, he's been flat out. He had a 5.28 ERA in 32 starts.
Well, 2020, everybody had a shortened season.
Yeah. So in 2020, he was really good. In 2021, he had an over 5 ERA but made 30 starts. Since then, he has been awful. And I don't mean, like, not kind. He has been awful. Like, one of the worst players on the planet bad. So, I don't know. Maybe
he was on the street for a reason. I mean, let's just be real.
What do you mean? You don't think players available to you on July 9th in free agency are often
at
good
the very
baseball
least,
players?
At the very least, what they've done is they got some bodies to help their AAA rotation they need to fill out because, like, you still got to put together a rotation in AAA, and they're starting to run into some really thin options there due to injuries. So.
Yeah, they didn't want to promote guys. They didn't want to promote the guys they just mentioned in AA just to promote them.
I truly think it does have something to set up for if they end up trading a pitcher or two.
I agree.
That they want to have some options, in this, even in the short term. Like, even if it's a spot start, they just need to have some guys ready to go if they end up moving two pieces out of the rotation.
Yesterday, it was Big 12 Media Football Days down there in Arlington, Dallas?
Frisco.
Frisco. Yeah. Different Texas. Frisco, Texas, where Brett Yormark made multiple remarks. There's a couple things that stand out, but I think the biggest one is fairly obvious. They're all in on 5 plus 11. He's going to go to his grave saying that that is the best model. And that is fascinating for the obvious reasons that are, it does appear that the Big 12 is guaranteed less spots this way versus the SEC, which I think is getting 4 in every year, every time. If it's 16 team, pretty much 3 at worst, they might be giving themselves less by going the 5 plus 11 model. I'm surprised the Big 12 so gung ho in this. He pretty much just says, we'll compete. We'll play it out and we'll try to get a second team in. That's essentially what he's saying. I still like that model. So, like, I don't have a problem with it. It's the Big Ten and the SEC who I don't think should just get half of the field every year. So, like, I'm kind of glad that Brett Yormark.
Well, they're
is fighting
for it
this.
Because, yeah, they're going against the grain. You know, they're not just siding with the Big Ten on this.
The
and
Big
we know
Ten doesn't like it, but the SEC does, which doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Yeah. And, like, if you're the Big 12, yeah, you do not want, you don't want 4 or 5 auto bids handed out to the Big Ten. You just don't. It puts your conference in a really, really bad spot. And I think eventually we get to 16 teams. I do think that's the correct number. If they're going to have 12 and we're just go to 16 and let's just cut it off there. We were talking before the show, like, would they ever go to a FCS model? And you said
24
there's, what,
teams.
24?
Yep.
That's a lot of teams.
That's probably too many.
That's too many.
The gap is not as much as it is in FBS play, though, so it makes for better consistent. There's better games on a more consistent basis.
Look, you know,
if that makes sense.
Does it get more fan bases involved and stuff? Sure. I think 16 is kind of a perfect spot to be in eventually for the college football playoff. And, like, you know,
Coach Kleiman said as much yesterday as well in his press.
Well, K-State, by the way, K-State might be one of those teams this year. I mean, that. If there's any of the local schools that has a shot to make the college football playoff this year, it's K-State.
It's interesting, too, because he coupled in, and I think this it goes hand in hand, the comments that he made about them not having a Big 12 media poll, the preseason poll. They're still going to have it for the national. Yeah, that always is going to be there. But the Big 12 didn't have their media vote on a top 20 or on a top 16, as it were.
You guys.
You get Arizona State's the polls.
I love this. I understand.
Anti-poll.
Fans love the in-season polls. We've had our back and forth on this show plenty. I think the polls in basketball and in football, they're pointless. I understand fan bases. It's how they, like, kind of market it to themselves. But I think it's pointless. In-season's even worse. All of it. So
this is only the conference. They're still going to have a preseason poll that comes out on August 16th that's got K-State 19th.
Yeah, from the media. Like, from the media, right?
From the AP, yes.
Yeah, so. but not media, like,
not
Cody
not for
and
just
I,
the
we've
Big 12.
Gone to Big 12 media days before. They will literally have you vote on your Big 12 media poll or the coach. They're not doing any of that is what they're getting rid of. And that I'm glad. They don't need it.
And I think it helps. So the preseason poll itself, I think, is somewhat based. They base a lot of it off of the one, previous thinking, but also the media polls for the conferences. And Brett Yormark's comment was, it hurt Arizona State last year in terms of the conversation of where they were seated. Which
or did it
I,
help
which,
them because of the narrative?
No. I totally think that it, I think they could have been higher seated, and dare I say, it might have actually helped the conference more if they didn't have the poll, because, and that was his point of why they got rid of it, was with the expanded to 16, which theoretically is going to happen, if Iowa State is, or if Arizona State's expected to be two, all of a sudden, they're not just sneak. Like, at the end of the season last year, Arizona State, I believe, was the 16th ranked team in the country. They wouldn't even be in if you just ranked the top 12. The Big 12 would have missed out totally on a team even being in if you just ranked them straight up. Where if Arizona State was picked second and people knew that they were picked second and, hey, they're promoted as this team that's going to be this and that, and then they went on to have the season that they did, they're probably not 16. They're probably more like 10 or 9, which theoretically helps Arizona State host a game, as opposed to having to do a neutral site against Texas, and it's a better team, and you have a chance at winning a playoff game.
That was definitely the perception that they had. Like, that was clearly the line down in Big 12 media days. Like, yes. Like Chris Kleiman acknowledged
coaches
it too.
He
said it hurt Arizona State and BYU. That was clearly the message.
They got the memo, the
bullet points of the talking points of what the conference wants the coaches to be saying about the why they're not having a poll again. I'm not saying there's not maybe some truth to that. I think that is kind of an excuse-making thing a little bit, though. I don't know if that's why Arizona State was disrespected. I kind of lean with Cody a little bit. We were talking pre-show that, you know, the narrative at the end and the why people were talking about Arizona State, wow, this was a team that nobody thought would be here kind of thing, was a fun narrative. You're saying that it's why the final college football selection committee, you know, and everything didn't view them as favorably. I also just think the college football playoff committee would have not favored the Big 12 in general, because it's just a conference that nationally people still don't respect.
Yeah, I think that's more about that than anything else. I think the narrative stuff helps sometimes in college football, because then you're the plucky underdog who's overcome all the odds, and people like it from that perspective. But yeah, I don't need a preseason media poll. I've voted in that. And just think about it. I don't even know where some of the biggest stars in the sport play, Drew. You taking a media poll serious that I voted in for college football? Like, I mean, what does that say about just like the strength of the poll? That I have multiple times voted for where I thought the teams were going to land.
I mean, I think, again, and that's where, you know, you're taking a bunch of people's opinion and you're just kind of combining it all together. Like, and this is no offense to our guy, Bink. Bink has an AP top 25 vote. Bink should have an AP top 25 vote as much as he pays attention to college football. But to what goal, well, your point is, there's too many cooks in the kitchen of how many people have a vote that really don't actually pay attention to everybody in the country and they just want to vote for their conference.
There's always going to be that.
All right, let's get to the trash of the day.
Look like Rob's in his way, unfortunately. Move around.
Dang it, Rob! It's Rob's fault.
He's going to have to move around.
It's all Rob's fault. My goodness, you know?
Yeah, we're working on something.
All right, trash of the day. Cody, this one's for you, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this one's for you in particular, because we've talked about
demanding speeches?
We've talked about your lack of success in the hot dog derby. You're 0-4, right? We've discussed this.
Yeah, I am 0-4 in the hot dog derby. That's correct.
I retired after winning. You said you'll run it as many times as it takes. It could be 40 times.
I've not been invited back.
I have a new race for you that maybe you can win.
Okay.
A new one.
Oh.
Did you know, in the state of Washington, they just had a 300-person race where they all were donned in inflatable dinosaur costumes. You know, those T-Rex inflatables
yeah.
The kids love seeing, you know, people in or whatever. The annual T-Rex World Championship. Yeah. It's a yearly event. At this racetrack, it was initially started as a team-building exercise by some company out there. Then it gained public notoriety, became a public event last year, and this is a real race. I'm watching video of it. It looks hilarious. The full event is going to be aired on ESPN2 sometime later this summer.
Whoa!
Uh-huh. 300 people. This is your chance. Could you do it in this T-Rex costume?
I got to say, I've never been in one of those.
Okay.
Can anyone who has been in one of those reference the difficulty of it for me? Because...
feels like it'd be cooler than the hot dog. Like you would not be sweating as much in that thing.
Part of the hot dog issue is, and we've talked about this, you have an advantage based on certain height because of a mobility restraint. Mm-hmm. And look, that's not the reason I've lost all the races. I've had other chances to win some. But I'm just trying to figure out, like, in what way does the dinosaur restrict your ability to move in it before I give it? The answer is I probably lose. Let's face it. I'm 0-4 in hot dog races, and I'd like to continue to race in them. But it's clear that I'm not going to win a lot of races at this. And with every day I get older, the odds of me winning anything in this regard is just getting worse. Do they have a category? I'd like a senior category, you know? Can I get a, like, a? Can I wait like 10 years and get in the above 50? You know, like how when you go to those like charity 5Ks and you can be like the number one person in your bracket?
Mm-hmm.
I might be able to win it if you do like the number one person in the, you know, 35 plus bracket, but before 50 or something, you know?
Give me a chance in that category. 300 people in the T-Rex costumes only.
It does look fun.
The fact that they are airing like a recorded version of this on ESPN 2 later this summer.
Is it going to be on like the Ocho day when they joke around?
It has to be, right? This is right up that alley.
That's what I kind of think. That got so much wind, at least at the time, that maybe they're just tripling down on that. If you got invited, would you race? Knowing it would be on ESPN 2.
Oh, sure. Why not? Yeah.
Take a chance. You want us to subscribe?
I've never been in one of these inflatable T-Rex things.
Has anyone? Drew, have you been in one of
those?
Someone
on the text line says it's really difficult to move around in.
Really?
I mean, have you watched the video of the race?
They don't look like they're running in full stride, I'll say.
Oh, no chance. No chance.
And every time I see a kid moving it, it kind of looks clumsy, but also I'm just looking at a giant inflatable dinosaur. So maybe that just kind of like the wind catches it a little. They always kind of look like the wacky inflatable tube man guys every time they're moving in those things. But I've never actually been in one of those outfits before, so I'm not sure. Have you ever one of those giant hamster balls?
I know what you're talking. No, I have not. I've not done that either.
Or like the inflatable thing, or essentially like sumo wrestle. I haven't done any of that. We're really missing out, you know? Can we have Cody Gold field day?
Someone says, you can't win a three-person race. Why do we think he'd be in the top 280 of 300?
I said based on category.
Dang.
Depending on the categories, yes.
Maybe I just have my best race, you know? Have my best day like Drew at the Masters. Mm-hmm. Maybe it could just
that's
be
what you should say from now
day.
On. Yep, that's right.
Someone said Cody versus Bink and Bob in the hot dog race. Jeez. I mean, do you think you'd...
Okay.
I mean, I finished ahead of Bob the last time we were in
Correct.
A hot dog race.
Yeah,
I feel pretty good about that. And I mean, yes, at I'd that win point, that
no,
one, but no, that's no, at, rigging
at,
it.
At, no, at that point, we need obviously there'd be some head starts involved.
Yeah.
You would have to start at the normal spot, Cody. You would not get the head start. Unfortunately, you would not get the head start.
I've not been invited again. So I don't know. I guess, you know what? Maybe it's about time for me to start placing those courtesy phone calls to see if I can't get myself involved.
You're how pathetic that is right there.
That's really sad.
You think I can't stoop lower?
But you just said, I have to make some
courtesy calls. The funniest thing is, you are a member of the media. You're not asking to get a one-on-one with Bobby. You're not asking to get a one-on-one. You're asking to be in the hot dog derby race.
Not trying to do something like super cool. I'm just trying to get in a hot dog derby race.
By the way, real quick, that's the trash today, by the way. Thinking of just going out to Kauffman Stadium and doing some fun things. Sunday, we, of course, have our Wittesons launch event, Bobby Wood Jr. look-alike contest. And that begins at 10:30, the haircuts. If you're someone that's got the hair that can get cut, if you are like, hey, I'm bald, but I want to do this thing, we got mullet wigs for you.
100 wigs ordered.
You can still participate. And we got this cleared officially. The winner of the lookalike contest on Sunday at the K is going to sit with you and I in the Crown Club.
In view of television, was the way it was put to us.
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
So you can look like Bobby, Alex and I, and our Bobby wigs, our sunglasses, our crowns will all be ready to help. It's the best way to launch the Wittesons. Sitting in view of a television camera for the better part of, I guess, now like 2 hours and 20 minutes for a baseball game.
You guys are going to have to put on a show. Like, as soon as there's like a strikeout.
Oh, when Bobby gets up to bat.
Well, that, and as soon as there, I need you the whole game. As soon as there's like a strike, as soon as the Royals strike
like
somebody
coordinated
out.
People? Should we work on like thing together for strikeouts?
I need that, but definitely 100%. When Bobby's in the batter's box, standing ovation right away.
You and, so it'll be three of you guys.
Winner and a guest.
Oh, so you guys... Paint,
four of us.
You guys go shirtless, paint a W on one chest, go I on another chest, and two and then a T and a T.
Two T's?
And you
rip our shirts open, and it just spells
I think
wit.
We might have some Wittesin jerseys, or at least our Bobby Witt jerseys. We'll see. But that's happening on Sunday. Awesome prize, plus some other stuff planned. Up next, let's get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour, talk more about the left tackle situation, and someone's already a little concerned about how the resources were used at left tackle. Really?
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
It is time for the Chiefs Red Half Hour here on Cody and Gold.
Brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder. Check them out at allweatherdecks.net.
Someone said that Rich Hill has been able to legally drink longer than Cags has been alive.
Is that right? Or are they just guessing? God, it's gotta be close. How Cags old is Rich Hill?
Let me look up Rich Hill.
I'll look up Jack Caglione age. He's 21, right?
Rich Hill is 45 years old.
Cags 22? 22.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Got him by a couple of years.
Uh-huh.
So Rich Hill had graduated high school, been able to legally drink for multiple years before Jack Caglione was born.
That's right.
I got to say, one of my favorite moments of that game last night was Vinny and Jack Caglione. And obviously, Vinny's idea trying to convince Jack to do it. That Italian-style kiss.
Yes.
All this, like, all their, like, we're Italian brothers stuff together. I love it. I'm a huge fan. And not just because I'm wearing my Meatballs Go Pasta La Vista shirt today. But just in general, it's fun and lighthearted and easy. That's all.
All right, let's talk some Chiefs football. It is the Chiefs Red Half Hour. We've talked plenty about Josh Simmons. It's the number one question mark heading into training camp. We'll be up in St. Joe in less than 2 weeks doing shows up there. Hope to see you guys up there. We'll be having a player stop by each and every show. Maybe Josh Simmons. That'd be nice, right?
Yeah.
Maybe it'll be Josh Simmons, especially if he's healthy and practicing. I thought it was weird, though. I'm already seeing people are discussing, well, did they overpay for Jalen Moore if he doesn't play?
Can it be both? Yes, but I don't care.
Yeah, I guess.
Like, technically be overpaying a backup, but I don't care.
What I guess I'm confused by is we all saw what happened at left tackle last year. They had to move their all-pro guard to left tackle. It was not that Joe Tooney was a disaster. The situation was a disaster. And you want to throw numbers and a problem.
And they had not drafted him yet when they signed him.
And Jalen Moore, if in fact he ends up not being the starting left tackle, he was your safety valve in case somebody else took Josh Simmons. Or if Josh Simmons is not available to start the season. Both, by the way, could happen. We don't know if Josh Simmons will be available for the start of the season. I understand Andy Reid has said he'll be available day one of camp, but we really don't know.
Andy Reid's told me a lot of lies over the years.
So
I'll wait to see if that one's true.
If Josh Simmons is not good to go, then it obviously was a great decision to still sign Jalen Moore, or to sign Jalen Moore. If Josh Simmons is good to go, wins the job, starts week one, it still was a fine plan, assuming yes. Josh Simmons ends up being the guy. Jalen Moore, yeah, like you're going to pay him a nice chunk of money. You had to. You had to make sure you didn't go into the draft with literally no other option. Imagine if we were sitting here right this second and they had not signed Jalen Moore, and we still had the questions about Josh Simmons' health, which we would have. And they were going into St. Joe in 2 weeks, and it was Josh Simmons, and he was competing again with Wanye Morris. I guess they could have signed some other random veteran by now, but maybe they would have brought back DJ Humphries in this hypothetical. I don't know. He's now on the Rams, I think.
Yeah.
But no, I will not be sitting back here in November. If Josh Simmons is playing and playing well, I will not be saying, man, they wasted their money on Jalen Moore. I really won't, because you gotta get it right.
Care.
You gotta get it right. And you gotta find a long-term answer. And if they find that, that's all anybody should care about.
Yeah, it's like saying if they had spent let's say they had 3 second round picks last year and they took 3 left tackles, but one worked, fine. Just as long as you finally solve this problem for more than 1 year at a time. The simple fact that he has played in as many Super Bowls as he has and just not repeating the left tackle ever. He just has to have a new left tackle every time he goes to the Super Bowl. It's stupid. He should have somebody trust, someone on that side who handles things. The other part about this that I think the people who are asking that question are not forgetting. So it's like, let's say you threw the money down the drain this year because, yeah, you are paying him a good chunk of money to not play for you this year, right? To be a backup. Is you're not considering the fact that in the second year of this deal, who's to say he can't be Jawan Taylor? Jawan Taylor could be cut after the end of this year. You might still get a full year of Moore at starter, at tackle. It might just be right tackle in 2026. So if I found the good answer at left tackle with Simmons, and then I get a full year as a starter and the best backup tackle maybe in the sport for a year, I'll take the safety net.
Yeah,
you give me a solid backup left and right tackle, and you tell me for a year he gets a start after Jawan Taylor's gone, or if Jawan Taylor struggles, he starts half the season for Jawan Taylor too, I'm not here to complain. It still seems like a worthy risk to me.
Yeah, we're bringing this up only because Casey Kingdom, local website, had a headline of Jalen Moore already looks like he's overpaid, and that's what has prompted this conversation.
Because it looks like Joshua Simmons has a good
leg
up.
I just, can you imagine after the issues that they've had, if they were just banking on the guy they draft who had an uncertain timetable for training camp.
Yeah.
Be sitting here saying they didn't do enough. And so it's just funny to me.
And what, the contract's 2 years, 30?
Yes.
It's not I don't, even if he doesn't start, I don't even know how much of an overpay is that.
Right.
Like, I mean, how much is it really much of an overpay compared to what other, like how much did, what's his name?
Jalen Moore.
How much did Dan Moore get paid?
Well, Dan Moore got paid a ridiculous amount of money.
He got 4 for $80. Yeah, he got $20 million. He got 4 for $80.
Jalen Moore has $11.1 million cap hit this year. Next year, it's 18.7. Overall, in this 2 year, $30 million deal, $21 million is guaranteed.
And okay? How much money is Juwan Taylor's cap hit for if he were to play
worse
next year?
What is it for Juwan Taylor?
Oh, okay, this is it. I just think, no matter what, if you were to bring him back, like even the cap hit next year that Jalen Moore has, if he's your right tackle, you're saving a significant amount of money by him just playing.
Juwan Taylor, if after this season they can move on for $7.3 million, otherwise it's $27 million. My guess is they're going to be moving on after this season. I have no problem if Jalen Moore doesn't play a single down for the Chiefs. That means Josh Simmons probably is the real deal. You guys would agree?
Yeah.
So that's a good thing.
Probably. Although, again, probably. I'm going in with a little more reservation, I told you, just based on my excitement over Kingsley winning the job last
year. I'm saying if Jalen Moore never plays a single snap.
Then he is the deal. He's at the very least a good enough starting left tackle to be on a playoff contending team. Yeah.
And could you imagine they didn't sign Jalen Moore and then Josh Simmons goes pick 23? Then who the heck is the left tackle?
Yeah.
So that's why I have no problem if Jalen Moore never plays.
Because he appears to be the guy who will at least give you, and it's still limited enough, he hasn't played enough to know for sure, but Jalen Moore appears to be on paper to the guy who will at least get you league average left tackle play. And what happened last year is their backup plan to league average left tackle play was an oft-injured Wanye Morris and a guard. And so like they weren't getting league average left tackle play because they had to go way far down the list there for a bit. And ran into those issues as it relates to it. And so I don't even care if he doesn't play a single snap. Because, again, it was a safety net plan to make sure you didn't get stuck in the same situation you did the year before. Putting in additional resources at, I don't know, one of the five most important positions in the sport. And what has been your single biggest Achilles heel in your two Super Bowl losses. I'm fine.
Well, and let's be if, let's say, Josh Simmons plays, but he has a setback, or if Juwan Taylor gets hurt, well, you've got a guy with some experience
available.
With a nice, he filled in for Trent Williams last year. Like, we've questioned whether or not Jalen Moore can be a starter, but I know if he has to fill in for a game, I feel pretty good, actually, the case.
Well, and based on the numbers that you just said, even if it takes a year for him to actually play, if you pay Juwan Taylor the money to cut him, that's seven plus the 18 cap hit. That you're saving $2 million compared to the cap hit of Juwan Taylor.
Jalen Moore could be the right tackle next year.
Yeah, I think the backup plan could turn into actually a solution at a different place. And if I would assume Jalen Moore would be solid based on him learning from Trent Williams, it's not left tackle, it's right tackle. There's less pressure at right tackle than there is left anyways. He'd be able to nestle in there and he'd be next to Trey Smith, theoretically. They pay him. It wouldn't be as much of a big ask, if you will, I guess, compared to what they'd be asking Josh Simmons to do at left.
I'll be honest. Like I was pretty shocked to see that this is already being discussed like it was a mistake. One, we don't know if Josh Simmons is even going to be the starting left tackle. Two, we all have watched how could you possibly be upset that they threw numbers in capital again at a obvious problem? I don't get it. I don't know why you'd be upset by that.
I think it's just the idea of like, but here's the problem.
Well, sure. Ideally, Cody Kingsley would have worked out last year. Of course. That's the ideal scenario.
But it's also just like, if you knew Simmons was going to get drafted by you and you knew he'd be healthy, but like, do you know how much of that you'd have to know? There is no way they could have known that at the time they had to sign Jalen Moore at the opening of free agency. They did not know who their left tackle at all was going to be. And look, I still think, and they tried for Ronnie Stanley and they didn't get him. Dan Moore was too expensive for what he was never available. But they obviously were trying to start those conversations.
Sure.
It was pretty clear that they were one of the interested parties in Ronnie Stanley, who wasn't available, but technically was a free agent. So he was available, but he wasn't going to leave Baltimore. So it turns out. But like, they were looking for choices that did not include also drafting a first round tackle. But because Jalen Moore still has less than 20 games as starting left tackle, they had to overpay a little bit. But they had to do that. And I sometimes I view the positions on aggregate. If it's Simmons and Moore and Simmons wins, they are paying on aggregate for the next 2 years, 2 years for $30 million for left tackle. I'm fine. I look at it sometimes that way, in the same sense that these teams who like have a rookie wide receiver but a high paid one. What are they paid together? And that's the other part. Right now you can afford to spend more money at left tackle because what do they pay their wide receivers? Their top paid skill position player is Travis Kelce, and then every other skill position player they're making borderline makes league minimum. Besides Hollywood Brown, who makes like, I don't know, $7 million a year, they might have the lowest priced skilled position group in the NFL. Am I crazy?
Wide receiver, bottom, running back, tight end? It's bottom 10. Yeah, bottom 10, bottom 5 in football.
And the crazy thing is that it's not, you're getting more output than you're paying for, of course, with the two rookies.
Yeah.
Or with the two on the rookie deals. Yeah. You know.
No, I agree with you. I think that's fair. Let's get back into something that caught our attention on a national level. Mark Schlereth, we all know, obviously does local radio in Denver, but he's now on a national platform hosting Breakfast Ball there on FS1. And he was talking about how he believes players, organizations, view the Chiefs this upcoming year compared to the past.
I will say this, though. I think for the first time, and I'm a Bronco fan. You know,
of course
I,
you are.
I have the Denver in my blood. I think for the first time in a long time, I do a radio show in Denver. People feel like there was a time.
Like there's blood in the water?
Yeah, there was a time that Patrick Mahomes was the boogeyman, right? Like,
sure.
There's nothing we can do. But there feels like there's this league-wide sense that this is the first time in Kansas City, in his tenure at Kansas City, that they're vulnerable. Like that somebody else could
and that's creep off up a 15 and win this win season.
Right, win this division. And we all picked it, I think, yesterday, right? I think you said the Chargers. I said the Chargers.
That wasn't that they would. It's like who's most likely.
Most likely. Yeah. But before there was no most likely. Right. Kansas City's winning. It's most likely to come in second was the conversation we were having.
Now, I think part of that division conversation goes back to the idea that at least it's a more competitive division. The reason why we don't have to kick it around in the AL East is not because the Bills are more feared. It's because they play in a joke of a division with no other competitive football team to go with it. Honestly, this would be the greatest news on the planet for the Chiefs. As I told you earlier, the idea that teams, if they decide to take the Chiefs a little more lightly, please, I'd welcome it. But why? For 7 consecutive years, they've either played in the Super Bowl in overtime or the AFC title game. I have a hard time believing that this is really how other teams feel. I really do. Coaches and players, anyway. Maybe fan bases, but coaches and players, you're trying to tell me they take the Chiefs lightly?
Yeah, look, I think Bo Nix is going into the season into practice fearing the Chiefs? No, I mean, that's just not a make. You don't get to this level and have success that all these starting quarterbacks, say what you will, how we rank them out, but still, you're obviously very good at what you do if you're a starting quarterback in the NFL. You don't get to this level without thinking you can compete with anybody. Like, that's the mindset you have to have. You've already lost it if you don't, right? So I don't believe any of them, quote-unquote, fear them. I really don't. But what Mark Schlereth said there, boy, oh boy, is the Super Bowl a powerful thing, because that's all it has to be based off of. One game, biggest game of the year, admittedly, but one game. And it's not like it's the only Super Bowl Mahomes has played in, okay? He's been in 5 of them. But one Super Bowl where they got their butts whooped. And now suddenly people just think they're a completely different team. We just got done talking about the left tackle situation. There's a chance. We don't know the answer to it yet. But there's a chance left tackle might be
way better.
A fixed situation. And the wide receiver room you just referenced about in Drew about the cost. If Rice, Worthy, and Brown are available, that's going to be the best spot they've had in a couple years. And so in the defense, last time I checked, still has Trent McDuffie, still has Spags, still has Chris Jones.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe they're not top 5, but I don't think they're 20th, okay? You know what I mean? So I just they won 15 games last year. They can win 12 or 13 this year and be better on offense. As weird as that sounds, they can, and I think they will. It's just weird that they seem so vulnerable because everybody on national, international television saw them get their butts whooped. We had never seen them really play like that. It was worse than the Bucs game in the Super Bowl. And yet we're doing this again. People counted them out after the Bucs Super Bowl and said, oh, it's over. And people are making that same mistake again, that this team is just not going to be the top dog in the AFC anymore. That seems crazy to me.
Based on their schedule, they can obviously change that opinion very quickly. I think some of it kind of goes back to something Mahomes had said on Kay Adams in that interview that had aired a couple days ago on her show, Up and Adams, right? Is the name?
Yeah, I think so.
Which is like, I think the third year in a row, fourth year in a row, it seems like their edict in the offseason is having fun is what's going to make us good. And I think when you look at the Chiefs for the last 2 years, not that you like, not that they don't get the level of respect, but it doesn't look easy for them anymore. Like they won 15 games last year, but it looks hard. Like it looks like work. It feels like you're having to earn it. And you know this, every year there's a team in the NFL where it looks like winning is easy for them. They just show up, whip the ass of the team across the field, move on about their day, and it seems like they can just go elbow and elbow. But the problem is that I have excuses, I think, for the last 2 years that make sense why it would be harder, and it hasn't stopped them. What is the league going to do if they wake up at the end of September this year and the Chiefs are back on offense to any level that they've been at previously, just a top five offense, and still maintaining some level of defensive superiority that they have over the rest of the league for what you mentioned, the talent they still have on the roster? I think if any team is actually feeling the way Schlereth is saying is like, well, we're worried about them, but not the way we used to be worried about them, that the wake-up call could come quick and fast.
First 2 weeks,
for
man.
The NFL.
First 2 weeks. And that, you know, international stage in Brazil against the Chargers, YouTube game on Friday. Then you turn around, you play a Sunday afternoon game. I think it's on Fox.
Yeah.
Against the defending champs in the Philadelphia Eagles. If their offense in particular looks really good, especially if they start 2-0, it's going to be hilarious how quickly things shift to, here they were so sick of them. You know, it can change so quickly. But the reverse is also true, admittedly, right? If this team gets off to a rocky start, people are going to say, see? And even then, it'll still be too early, in my opinion, to count them out. But I think the Chiefs are in a great spot actually heading into the season. It has been a couple of years since seemingly the pressure was off on a national level. I'm not saying that they don't have their own internal pressure to succeed.
But it does seem like the national
pressure and spotlight to a certain extent is off. I just think it can be right back on them in 2 weeks.
How was the national spotlight off?
It's crazy.
This team
it's crazy.
Has gone to three consecutive Super Bowls and five of the last six. I cannot emphasize that enough. You're like, the spotlight's off a little bit. And I don't even disagree with the statement, yeah. Gold. But the idea that like the shine would be off a little on a franchise that has been to five of the last six Super Bowls is crazy.
But that's how people are acting, man.
Crazy.
It's weird. I think it's a lot of wishful thinking. You know, we know a lot of people were
speaking into existence. It's like a dream board situation.
Like,
sure.
We know. And I get it. This is what happens when you were the Warriors, whether you were the Patriots. People enjoyed seeing you lose and get your butts kicked in the Super Bowl. I get it. That's just part of fandom, right? We've all been there at some point in our sports life. Where there's a team you get sick of seeing win and you're happy. And 99% of sports fans that watched the Super Bowl were happy with what happened in the Super Bowl. They just were.
Yeah, I think so.
That's the reality of it.
Man, cheers for the Eagles. Dirty work.
Yeah, but because of that, some people lost their damn mind and act like this team is over. That Mahomes is 40, Andy Reid's gone, Kelsey's gone. No, none of that happened. They're all still here. Mahomes is 30. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, it's pretending like something didn't exist that did. You know, again, I think what you're saying is like, it's the... What's the like the dream board stuff that people like talk about when they're like powered, you know, like it was a big Oprah thing or something, like you got to put it in here. So you like put it into the universe and now it's going to happen. Gold's got his poster up on his wall when he's 10 with a Lamborghini and a supermodel. And he's like, this is my life one day. This is my dream world. You're like, you can wish for all those things. You better sure as hell get a job in which you can buy one.
Yes. And hell, Mahomes isn't even 30 yet. He actually gets a couple games at 29 still. It's like 2 weeks at 29. In season, then he's 30.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah, not even 30 yet, man. I'll tell you what, like the money stuff is always funny because we didn't even say anything that would indicate this, but we're still trying to get Desmond to switch to, and briefly a few were available in some targets around the city, so I said, hey man, we'll drive and we'll go look. We missed it by one person.
Oh,
I watched him take it. Pretty hurtful. But so,
What was Desmond's reaction?
We were prepping him before that they might not have it. He actually took it pretty well.
Okay.
But on the way there, he's like, guys, I'm worried. I was like, about what? He's like, I really want to switch to. So he's like, but I don't want us to be broke. Is it too much money? And I was like, we're fine, dude. We can buy the Switch.
How considerate of Desmond.
It's all good, dude. Wow. We're not going to be broke if we buy it. We've set aside the money.
Desmond, if you're willing to just eat.
We appreciate your sacrifice here.
Frozen meals, Desmond, for the next
yeah.
month.
If you're willing to eat bologna sandwiches.
That's right. Or ramen for the next month.
That's right.
We're ramen for the next one.
I still can't believe I've done sending you links, though. I'm done.
Did
I've tried.
Did you send me another one?
No, but like I've sent you the two or three.
You sent me the two, and I tried to. Yeah. The one I missed.
I think you'll be able to just walk in here in about a
Amazon
month.
Amazon officially
them.
Has their list now, so I entered for that, and I'm on the. I think in like a month you'll be able to just walk in and buy one. But I told him we could keep an eye out for when they. And we tried.
I was going to get the Switch. I decided to get. I was like, how much am I really going to play this thing? Like, let's be real. And I sat down with my actual thoughts for a second, and I was like, let's make a smarter financial decision. I bought an iPad instead.
Oh, okay.
Because I feel like I'll use that more, the iPad Pro. I feel like I'll use that more
so
than the Switch.
So you got an iPad at the house for
it. I do. I need to get a keyboard for it still so I can start using it for the show. That's why it's not here. But
sure.
I was like, I'm going to use that so much more than the Switch. Like, I just, like,
even. For all different stuff.
Yeah, because we were just talking about,
like. I
really
do like putting, like, music and shows and stuff on while I'm cooking and stuff. I like having things on in the kitchen.
The college football video game we were talking about with Drew yesterday, and it's like, that game. I'm going to probably play it during this free trial and then maybe I'll buy it. Like I don't sit and play 3 hours of video games. So the same thing would apply with the Switch. Am I going to really just sit there and
back
play?
Back to Alex and his 10-year-old dream board. Imagine what 10-year-old Alex would think of this, Alex. He had a video game show, a video game podcast. He'd hate your ass. Mm-hmm. He'd be so mad at you for just quitting on your dream, you know, your dream of video games.
Yeah. All right. Up next.
Is that 10? Is that how old you were when you did that?
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah.
Okay. Range.
We'll get to what's trending, and then we'll tell you more about the Wittesons. We'll also get back into what Jack Caglione was able to do yesterday.